with, let me thank each and every one of you for being my friend. Know some of you very, very well, and some of you I don't. We're doing our series and Live to Give. And let me tell you, I'm just thrilled. Judy will go home in the afternoons, and she'll start reading me some of your guys' posts on Facebook and those kinds of things. It's so encouraging. I get emails, and somebody wrote me and said, man, God's given me so much, I just want to give stuff away. And so it gave a lawnmower away. I mean, it's just cool what's happening, and we're getting it. And so that's what I'm trying to say to you. Thanks for getting it. Thanks for getting it. It makes me happy. It makes me encouraged. Today what I want to talk to you about is learning how to live to give into our relationships and into our friendships. So let's talk about this. Our lives are so developed and built around friendships and relationships. From the time we come out of the womb, we're developing relationships with our parents or with our children and with our siblings, with our aunts, our uncles. We go to the nursery, we get new buddies and friends. We go to school, we get friends. We develop all of these relationships all through life, aunts and uncles, and all of this stuff starts happening, and grandmothers and grandfathers, life's just a continual development of relationships, and it's just a wonderful thing. We go on to college or whatever, new buddies, new friends, new relationships, get into the workforce and co-workers and go to church, and so life has so many, many friends and relationships that we have in it. And what I want us to see is that God gives us this stuff. God gives us these relationships for a real reason. It's not just so we can have fun. They're good, and acquaintances, well, you can have fun with acquaintances, but a friend, a friend, that's something special. Let me read you this verse in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. It says, a man of many companions may come to ruin. Companions won't stop you from ruining your life. In fact, they kind of back off from you when you start messing up. But he goes on, but there's a friend who sticks. Would you say sticks back to me? Just sticks. There's a friend that sticks like Velcro. I mean, stick. There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You know, it's easy to be when things are going well in their lives and in your life, and think it's easy to hook up and have fun and be a friend. But man, when we sometimes have this potential in all of our lives to bring demise on ourselves, to ruin our own lives. And so God will make sure, if you've done it right, that there's somebody there that's going to get you through that ruining time. That's going to help you make it through. God gives us friends and relationships to support us, to encourage us, to hold us up and to help us through the tough times in life. And we all hit them. We all go through tough times. I don't care if you're a Christian or an atheist or what your belief is. Every single person goes through some ruining times in life. And what God has done is put people in your life and to be your friends. Now, what I want you to do is cut off your minds for a moment and just shut down everything and just think for your past years of your life. Maybe let's go back 20 if you can, if you're that old. Go back 20 and just think about somebody, and maybe you can count them on one hand, I can, that has stuck with you through every single ruining time that you brought upon yourself, every single bad time, dark time that you ever experienced. Think about that person. And what you need to do is realize what I'm wanting you to do. This is a friend. This isn't an acquaintance. God put that person in your life for a specific reason. God has that person there for you. And you need to thank God for that person, but you also need to thank the person for being your friend. Thank God for being a friend. And if we're going to have these kinds of relationships in our lives where they will stick with us when we mess up, when we've blown it, when we've done some goofy things, if we're really going to have these kinds of relationships that go through us through thick and thin, if we're going to have these kinds of relationships, we've got to learn how to give and deposit and invest into these relationships. And if you have those kinds of people in your life, then you know what I'm going to be talking about today. So I'm just going to be able to enhance what you already know. But what's so sad about relationships is there are so many people in the world today who only take, who just draw out of every relationship they have. They have this mentality of what's in it for me. And this isn't good. So if that's you, then this lesson is really for you. Because God wants you to understand what you're doing to yourself and what you're doing to other people. So let me read you this verse in Proverbs chapter 14:20. It starts off kind of a similar way. It says, the poor are shunned even by their neighbors. In other words, by people that shouldn't shun them. You know, you go, your neighbor's outside working in the yard, and you go outside, and the neighbor goes in the house. Ah, well, what's that about? Well, and then the neighbor, you go back in the house, and the neighbor goes back outside. Whoa, 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 whoa. You're being shunned. People don't want to be around you. Shunned by people who shouldn't, by the neighbors, but the rich have many friends. Now, what's God trying to tell us here? What's the wisdom we can draw from this proverb? You see, the rich have learned something, and one of the reasons that they are rich is because they've learned how to give. And they know that down the road somewhere, they're going to need somebody to help them, minister to them, give back to them. And so what they've learned in life is, if I'll give, then what's going to happen when I need somebody to give to me? And we all know people that aren't that sharp, aren't that good, but yet they have a lot of friends. Why is that? Because they've learned this principle, and they give of themselves, and they put in to invest in relationships. There was this person, and it was a long, long time ago, years and years ago, but this particular person had a history of just using people. And taking from every relationship, any relationship that I was aware that he had, or any relationship that I ever heard he had, including his wife, his children, anybody, he always took. And with me, he was always in some kind of crisis or going through some kind of a problem or in some kind of a situation that he had to talk to me about. And when he would talk to me, it was just like drawing life, energy, joy out of me. And when I would finally get away from talking with this person, and then it was never me talking to this person was so talk, he talk, and there was never really any conversation, and you were just glad to get away. And so finally when you would get away from this person, you just felt spent, you know, you felt empty, your joy was gone, your energy was gone, and you're thinking, whoa, what just happened? And we would ever go into a place where there was a lot of people around, and maybe we'd go, a bunch of us got together to go out to eat or something like that. I would purposefully shun this person. I mean, I would try to sit at the other end of the table. I would avoid this person. People that shouldn't avoid you will avoid you. Your pastor shouldn't avoid you. But I did. Why? Because he just took. He was poor in this relationship, in this relationship thing. So what I really want us to see is, and don't misunderstand, because we all go through some tough times. We all go through some dark times. We all go through times where we pull on people and we need people. We will all do that. But if this is how you are with every single relationship you have, then you got a problem, and you're being shunned, and you're being avoided by people who can really help you in life. They don't want to be around you. And you're a selfish person. And what you've got to learn, how to give to your relationships. And I want to tell you something that your friends and your relatives won't tell you. We don't want to hear about your problems all the time. We don't want to hear all the stuff that's going on. And the reason that we run when you come is because you're about to drain us again. You're about to take our joy away. You're about to take our, we're gonna go away emotionally empty. How do we do this? Okay, so let's deal with it. How do we learn how to live to give into a relationship or a friendship? Well, I want you to get this. This is so important. See, every relationship you have is an account. It's like a bank account. It's an emotional account. Bank account that you have with every single person that you know. And in every encounter that you have with any person, you're either doing what you do with a bank account, you're either making a withdrawal or you're making a deposit. In every single relationship I have is that way. And so I'm either, when I'm with this person, I'm either depositing or I'm withdrawing from the relationship. And what's so sad is that so many people treat their relationships, their friendships, exactly like they go through life with their checking account. And there's not enough deposits. And they've done nothing but make withdrawals. And so you're avoided and you're shunned. And if we can get this, this is really, really how you can work with relationships and understand how God teaches us to have them. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 7, it says, a poor man is shunned by his relatives? Hey, listen, I know children who shun their mom and dad because nothing, their parents do nothing but draw from them. I know brothers and sisters, because why? Because you've drained to me. I don't want to be around you. Shunned by all his relatives. How much more does his friends avoid him? And though he pursues them with pleading, help me, give me. Got to have some money. I'm going to go to jail. Help me, get me out of this. Help me. Though he goes and pleads and follows him pleading, they're nowhere to be found. See, if all we do is take from relationships that we have, we're not going to have anybody that's going to stick with us when we go through times of ruin. How do we give? How do we do this analogy that I'm using with you, the bank account? How do we make deposits into these accounts? And what's so amazing here is some of the simplest things that we do in life really may add huge deposits. And one of the main things is just taking time for somebody, taking time, doing things that you should do anyway, just doing it. Just slicing out a little time and doing something for somebody, like walking across the room and shaking their hand and smiling at them and giving them a hug. That adds huge deposits into your account. This was years ago. I'd gone through a very, very embarrassing situation. I didn't want to get out in public. It was a tough time for me, and I had to because I had to go to a funeral. I had to go to the funeral home, and so I didn't really want to go. And you know, when you go through those embarrassing moments in life, you know that people are talking and all this. You know, so I didn't want to go there, but I had to go, and so I went. And this individual who was there, he was a very, very influential man in our town, in our community, a very, very well-off man, very, very powerful man in our community. Anyway, he saw me. And I'm sure he was aware of my situation. He walks across the room and greets me. Hey, Delbert, how you doing? And he wasn't being nosy. He wasn't trying to get info or check it out, you know, and I heard the latest gossip. He was there just to encourage me. He smiled, hugged my neck, and there was a lot of influential people in this room, and yet he stood there and talked with me for a long time. He wasn't there to pick me for how I heard about this. That wasn't his motive at all. To me, what his motive was, Delbert, you're an all right guy. I know you're going through a tough time right now, and I'm just really here to encourage you. And you know what this guy did, man? He got that was such a deposit. He got my trust. He got my respect for doing that. And sure enough, other people started then coming after he did it and coming and talking to me and all this. So what I'm trying to show you is that not just me, though, in my account. I mean, my wife was there and she saw this happen and she commented about it. Man, how neat that particular person came and hugged me and shook my hand, and my family was aware of it, and that man got a lot of deposits from all of us. And so doing those simple things sometimes adds such great deposits into the accounts that we have in relationships. And if you compliment somebody, just compliment them. You know, compliment a coworker, say, you know, man, you are the greatest at this. You do this so well. You do this maybe better than anybody I've ever seen. You just made a big deposit. Compliment your husband, wife. Tell him, man, you're such a good husband. You take care of our family. You provide for us. Thank you so much for all the years that you've taken care of me and taken care of us. Man, you made a big deposit, gal. I'm telling you. You're going to get roses. You got candy coming. Our husband, tell your wife, baby, I love you. I love you so much. Thank you for sticking with me. Thank you for helping me in life. Thank you for making our home a home. You just made a big deposit. Well, Delbert, I told her 2 years ago I loved her. Yeah. So I'm talking about. You say you haven't made a deposit in 2 years. You've been making withdrawals. And you wonder why she doesn't greet you with a smile. She doesn't greet you with a hug, and you don't get a kiss. You've overdrawn. You're taking, you're depleting that account. And what I'm talking about here is for every single relationship that we have, whether it's our children or whether it's our spouse or our parents or whatever. Every single relationship we have, we make deposits into it. We make deposits into our children's accounts by just cutting out time for them. That's the main thing you can do for your kid. Oh, they like the presents. They like the all the other stuff that we can give them. But they interpret presents wrong, and I'm going to talk about that later. But when our children were little, I worked at night, and it was very difficult connecting. But I would make myself get up and take Lance to ball practice. And I would coach his little league team or his football team or be involved with everything he did. I sliced out time for him, made him know he was important to me. I did that for him. And for Bonnie, I would try to go to as many things that she did as possible. And then when I got into the ministry and we came up here, it was a little easier to adjust my schedule as I needed to adjust it. And Bonnie loved to dance. She took dance lessons and she was taking from a lady in Griffin. And I would, Bonnie and I, we'd get in that car every week. We would drive to Griffin, just she and I. And we would go and we would connect. We would talk about everything. And it was important to her that she was that important. And with my son fishing, hunting, just cutting had time with him. Not having all my buddies go with me or just he and me, you know. And then now it's the same way. They're grown now, got their own families. But the way that I impress them the most is not with the presents I give them at Christmas or any of that stuff. It's by my taking time that when they know I got something I want to do or I need to do, but I put them first, I'm affirming them. I'm validating them. And I am saying, you're more important to me than this. And I'm with you. And did it just this past week, and one of my children says, thank you. Thank you for coming by. Thank you for taking time to stop by. In every single relationship we have, we are either depositing or we're withdrawing from it. We make deposits and give to our relationships and with our friends by doing things, little things that we should do, going to the store, watching their kids, doing stuff like that. But I've learned that one of the biggest things that I can do for a friend is just to overlook their faults. As I was preparing this, I remembered an individual, and this was like 20 years ago. Individual had really messed up. And God convicted him. He comes to my office and he confesses. And being not only his friend but his pastor, he thought that I was going to make him jump through those hoops of repentance, you know, and all this. And I didn't. What I did was deeply love him. And now it's going to get you wrong when I first say it, but I covered it. He said, See, we're never more like God than when we can cover sins. When we can go beyond, wash those sins from us and get washed from them. See, Jesus came and that's what he does. And what God does in our sins is he takes those things and he casts them into the depths of the sea, never to be remembered. He disregards them. We're much like God when we do that for people, plus in our friendships especially. Let me read this to you. It's in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, above all, love each other deeply. Because love does what? Covers over a multitude. Proverbs says, 17:9, disregarding, trashing, throwing away, depths of the sea, getting rid of another person's faults, perseveres love. Preserves loves. Telling about them separates friends. When we act like God and do what God did, not act like God, now you understand what I'm trying to communicate here. When we do what the Lord does and deal with sins and faults with our friends like this, you know, amazing things happens. And since that time, I have been through several crises, and this particular individual has been with me, stuck with me through every single one of them. Been there supporting me, holding me up. He'd do anything for me. Why? Because I deposited into that account. Now maybe a coworker that you work with just has a bad day and just says something really rude to you, jumps in your face and says something mean to you. Well, what do you do? Do you retaliate? No. Disregard it. Look over it. Get past it. Walk away. Don't retaliate. They're going to come back the next day. They're going to apologize. Hey, I'm so sorry. Oh, don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. You were having a bad day. Because you need to remember that one day you're going to have a bad day. And one day you're going to say something mean and rude. But you've already got it covered. You've already made the deposit. And that person is going to stick up and be there for you. I have a friend who calls me every single week. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he even remembers to do it. He'll be in another country and sometimes call me. It's amazing how he does this. And he does it all the time. Every week for years and years and years and years he's been doing this. Just making deposits. Just depositing into our relationship. So one day he comes up to me and he says, Delbert, he says, would you do this for me? Now, it was something that I don't think he has another relationship that could do this. And he says, would you do this for me? And it was for his sons and for his grandson. I said, absolutely. Please let me do this. And see, this is the difference is when somebody's always taken from you, you're looking for ways to get out of it. But when somebody has deposited, you're looking for ways to do it back for them and do something good for them. I said, please let me do this. And it took me a lot of trouble and a lot of time and effort. But I did it. And he was so thankful. He thanked me. Every time I talked to him for a while, it got a little embarrassing. He thanked me so much. But see, it was a pleasure. It was joy because he had deposited into our relationship. Now, we can make deposits, but we also make withdrawals. And the way we make withdrawals most times and deplete the account is with selfishness. Selfishness will deplete an account so fast. Like, for example, not taking time for somebody. I'm a little weak here, but walk by somebody, not even acknowledge them, not smile, not shake their hand, not hug their neck, just walk by. And whether you were doing it to be rude or whether you were doing it because you had your mind someplace else, it doesn't matter. You just withdrew deeply from that account. You made a big withdrawal when you didn't acknowledge that person. Years ago, before I went into the ministry, I was an overseer on the midnight shift from 12 midnight until 8 a.m. And there was this one man who worked for me. I had influenced his life brought him to Jesus. I had helped him make some major decisions in his life, and he really loved me and respected me and trusted me. And so one morning, as I remember, it was cold. One morning, his car wouldn't crank. And so he went out, and the car wouldn't crank, and he just waited there by the gate for me to come out. And said, Delbert would take me, give me a ride, and it'd be okay. Well, Delbert came out, and I got in my truck, and I cranked it up, and just took off, drove right by him. I didn't even see him. Well, that night I came back in. I think we were building a house. We were doing something. Anyway, my head was already there. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I didn't see him. I came back that night, and Billy was very distant from me, and very angry acting toward me, avoiding me, you know, shunning me. And I went to him, and I said, hey, man, what's up? Everything okay? What happened? Something happened today? And so he started crying, and he shared with me what I had done. And he told me, he said, I love you like a brother, and you just drove right by. I said, Billy, I didn't see you. He says, you looked right at me. And though I apologized and begged for his forgiveness, and I had taken a lot out of the account, a lot of trust and a lot of respect, and it took me time to make those deposits back in there again. I did, but that's what we do. We get our heads in something else, and we don't take time for people. Proverbs chapter 17 verse 17 says this: a friend loves at all times. How often? All times. All times. And a brother is born for adversity. A brother will give you some adversity. But a friend will love you. And one of the ways we make withdrawals from an account is by bringing up a fault or a disappointment that a friend did. By talking about it, by bringing it up. You know, it may or may not have been actually done to me, but if I bring it up, I am depleting quickly, and it won't be long that relationship's going to terminate. Friends will let you down. Friends will disappoint you. But a friend loves how often? A friend loves at all times. And you disregard these things, and you love through it, and you tolerate a friend. Not keeping your commitments will deplete the relationships that you have. not keeping, you tell somebody, I'm going to be here, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this for you, and you don't do it. You're making big draws out of your account with this person. And this is true in any single relationship we have. I see this oftentimes with parents and children. A parent promises somebody, I'm going to do this for you, I'm going to do this for you, and then they don't do it. What's happened is they don't trust you anymore. You've damaged that relationship. And a long time ago, I saw this actually happen. The young man, his dad would tell him he was going to do something for him and do something with him, and just never did it. And then the boy said, he always tells me he's going to do stuff, but he never does it. It's so important that we keep our commitments and that we stay up to the end of the bargains and make sure that we make the deposits. Keeping your relationship account with a positive balance will always provide you with plenty of mercy when you need mercy. You're going to need mercy sometime. And by keeping that account up, you're going to have it. But oftentimes in life, so many people just let the account get too low. Oftentimes in life, you know, we go overdrawn. And so what I want to do is give you a little insight as to when a relationship gets edgy, when a relationship kind of explodes in your face or something like that. I want to give you some insight as to why that just happened. The reason that just happened is because you're either overdrawn or you're very, very low. You don't have enough deposits to cover your check. And when these things happen, whether it's a spouse relationship or children relationship or friendship relationship, you know, you get edgy with people and little things become major. The simplest of things become magnified. And let me say this, and I want to say it two or three times in this thought. But see, these things just didn't happen overnight. There's been some withdrawals from it. And when this is going on, you find yourself walking on eggshells. Eggshells around your spouse or eggshells around this friend or there's a lot of tension going on. You're not comfortable like you once were. And so what's happened here is most likely is this account has been drawn on so much that you're trying to make withdrawals from it and there's nothing there. You haven't put anything into it in a while. And so to make the point, let me use a teenage girl. Say you have a teenage daughter and you've got to correct her. And she suddenly just explodes. It's totally out of her context and her character. She just explodes on you, starts yelling at you. Who do you think you are? I'm not listening to you. I'm not paying any attention. I don't have to do what you say. From where did that come? That's not my daughter. You see, realize she didn't get there overnight. So what's happening? See, let me put into other words what she just said. Well, she just said, you don't care about me. You're not interested in what I'm interested in. All you ever do is try to correct. And all you want me to do is do what you want me to do. You're not really interested in what I'm interested in. And when's the last time you really talked to me and encouraged me about what I'm really loving to do, what I like about life? When's the last time you spent time with me? Now, if you're a parent or a leader or a boss or whatever, when any time that you've got to on a frequent basis, when you've got to correct, then you're going to have to do it a lot, especially with a child coming up with children. You're going to have to make a lot of corrections, and you're going to have to draw on this count a lot. So what you've got to do as a parent or a boss or a leader, whatever, is you've got to make sure you've made enough deposits to cover you. And so what we have to do is make sure that when something blows up, when something going crazy, we've got to stand back. We've got to look at this thing. Now, have I put into this relationship? And parents are notorious about this. Well, you should obey me. That's what the Bible says. That's what God says. Obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. And pull the commandment on them, you know? How many of you parents realize that doesn't always work out real well? Why? Because you're out of context. And I'm going to use this specifically to show you, this is in every single relationship. You say, what you've read is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, but you stop there. Because what the Lord is telling us there is the whole context. And what you got to do is you got to see that before you can make withdrawals from this child's account that you have, this account you have with this child, you've got to make some deposits. Watch this. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Here's the part we do. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Amen, brother. That's good preaching there. Right. And the second verse goes on to say this is the first commandment with promise and it's the right thing, all this stuff. But you stop too soon. See, in verse 4 he says, and you parents, and you fathers, hey, let me tell you something too. Provoke not your children to what? What does that mean? Provoke not your children to wrath, but first make deposits before you make a withdrawal. Provoke not your children with wrath, but bring them up in the nurture. Put something in here. Make a deposit. Then you can do the admonition. You can make the withdrawal. Parents, the way we provoke wrath is by having insufficient funds with our children. And we've got to correct. But what the Bible tells us to do, and using this one as the example, in every relationship, we've got to nurture it before we can draw from it. And if you expect to speak effectively into your child's life, you've got to make sure you've got sufficient deposits there to cover it. And what you've got to ask yourself are some very, very needful questions. You've got to ask, have I encouraged her lately? Have I sat down and told her, hey, look, you know, this isn't my big deal, but man, I'm so happy for you, and I'm glad you're into it, and I'm glad you like this, and I want to encourage, I want to help you any way I can. Have you sliced out time and sat down and made nothing but deposits without making withdrawals while you were making the deposit? You know, instead of talking and giving them the good old pep talk just to turn around at the end of it and draw it all back out, did you just make deposits and say, man, I'm glad we had this talk. Man, I'm so good just to talk to you. I want to share this story with you. See, what this girl needed was affirmation. You say, well, Delbert, I got him a house. I feed him. I clothe him. I provide transportation for him. Isn't that enough? Well, how's it working out for you? What you're doing, in her mind, is you're doing this to get me to do what you want me to do. Yeah, you do all this for me, but it's just so you can manipulate me and make me do what you want me to do. And what we need to understand is what they need is affirmation. I read the story, and this father had this horrible, horrific relationship with the son. And the son was in absolute rebellion, especially against his dad. And just going off. I mean, you know, it was a horrible home thing. And his dad, he was angry, but he knew he had to fix it, and he knew it was up to him to fix it. And so he made some arrangements and thought and prayed about it, and he felt like this was what he should do. So before he presented it to his son, he made arrangements to make sure he could pull it off. He made sure that he didn't do what I talked to you a while ago, promise something and not be able to pull it off. So he made arrangements for a month to get off of work. And then he went to his son, and his son loved baseball. His son was one of these baseball fanatics, knew what school they went to, you know, what positions they play, and left, I mean, just knew everything about baseball, everything about all the players and all the teams and all the statistics and stuff. And his son loved it, but his dad could care less about baseball. But he wanted to invest and deposit back into the relationship, so he went to his son. And he says, listen. He says, how about just me and you? We'll take a trip across the United States and we'll go watch every single Major League Baseball team play. And we'll see most of the stadiums. Well, of course, the boy really didn't want to be with his dad. But that was an offer he couldn't refuse. And the dad made it clear. Now listen, I'm not trying to trap you. Listen, if you don't like it, we're not having fun, we'll come back home. I promise you. So they took off. And the dad did nothing but invest and deposit into this relationship. And they reconnected. It was a great thing. So the dad comes back and goes back to work. Well, one of his friends at work says, "Man, I heard what you did. That was expensive. And you don't like baseball that much." And the dad said, "No, but I love my son that much." You see, if we're going to have relationships that stick with us, meaningful relationships, we've got to learn. We've got to invest in those. We've got to give to those. We got to thank God for our friends. God brought them for us so we could have a life, and that when we go through those times of ruin, they're sticking with us. They're there for us. Every relationship that you have is an account. Every single one. Every relationship. Your wife, your children, parents, friends. Everything is a relationship. And you're either drawing from it or you're depositing into it. And if you're going to have one that'll stick with you through thick and thin times, and where you're not avoided and you're not shunned, you've got to learn how to give to those relationships and keep a positive balance. Overlook faults of your friends. Don't talk about those faults. That just divides and separates friends. Overlook those things. Support them. Give them mercy. Stick with your friends, because one day you're going to need your friend to stick with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Your word is so good, so real, so alive. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for every single person here. Lord, we see the value of the friendships that you've brought us in life so that we can have a good life, an abundant life. I want your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I just want to present something to you. You know, every week we've kind of challenged you with something, to do something in each one of these lessons. And what I really want to challenge you this week is, maybe you're like me and you've taken for granted some of your friends. Maybe you haven't told them how much you appreciate them. You've just kind of used the relationship a little bit, and you really want to let them know. How many of you, along with me this week, will make it a point to call maybe those four or five people that you could think of earlier, as I asked you just to stop and think about that? Maybe call them this week, or write them a letter, an email, however it works for you. But you know, do something and just say, "Thank you for being my friend. I'll never forget you. I'll never forget how you stuck with me in my time of ruin or my time of darkness. I'll never forget you. I want you to know I love you. Thank you for being my friend." How many of you here today would do that along with me this week sometime? You just make a commitment to do that. I see hands up everywhere. Good deal, good deal, good deal. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. Now, some of you have done nothing but use people. You call them friends. But all you do is look at every relationship as, "What's in it for me?" And you have depleted every relationship account you've ever had. I'm not going to embarrass you by asking you to raise your hand. You know if this is you. But here's what you need to do. You need to call those people and apologize. You need to repent. But the most thing you need to do is take what we have talked about today and learn how to give to relationships. If you'll do that, your life's going to turn around. If you'll do that, you're going to see things go up for you instead of down. And you're going to have people that will stick with you in your roughest of times. One more group I want to talk to. Some of you here, you know you're not where you need to be with God. All you do is take, take, take. And you've been taking all your life, and you're trying to take stuff to put into your life to fulfill you. But you're never fulfilled. There's this void inside of you. You see, here's the truth of the matter, is that God has a plan for you. He has something for you to do. And you're never going to be fulfilled in life until you kick into that plan. Nothing's going to satisfy you. You're going to take, take, take all life long. But until you get into God's plan, you're never going to be fulfilled. That void inside of you will never be filled. Never. And the reason that you're not